Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest,
your hermitage of the heart,
your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw on the wisdom of the saints. And today we are talking about marriage spirituality.
Why are we doing that, Dan Burke?
Because we just came back from, we've been on the road for 3 weeks. Wow, I'm tired.
Me too.
Wow. And the last event we did was in Farmers Branch, Texas, at Mary Immaculate. Was that right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we did a marriage retreat. It was like two and a half days, Friday, all day Friday,
most
all
of
day
the day,
Saturday,
yeah.
And then a big chunk of the day Sunday, mm-hmm. on how to know divine intimacy. A lot of people think Divine Intimacy Radio is about marriage in general, but it's a divine intimacy is a general term related to the interior life, the mystical life of grace in Christ. But sometimes we do talk about marriage, and in this case today, that's the topic.
Well, and it can be realized in marriage.
That's
the beauty, is that we can discover the divine intimacy that we are called to with the Lord in and through our marriage. It's actually a primary means of discovering divine intimacy.
Our marriages. So what is, right. In terms of marriage, what is divine intimacy in marriage? What does that mean?
Oh, there's so many facets. It's like talking about all the different facets of a diamond.
Yeah.
The subtitle of our retreat, which I love, that we came up with, was Ascent to Oneness, mm. You know, and it's both a little O and a capital O.
Oneness Ascent. With a little O and oneness with the big O.
Right.
Right.
So a capital O, that oneness with the Lord.
Yeah.
And the oneness with one another. And so as we grow in holiness, please Jesus, then we grow in oneness with one another. And so that divine intimacy, you know, comes emotionally, spiritually, physically, all those ways, you know, how we talk and live together, how we pray together, how we raise our children together, how we go through this journey of life as a couple, the way God intended us to go together.
Yeah.
And so it's a mystery. It's a challenge. It's also glorious, and it's really, really, really important.
Yeah,
it is. It's so incredibly important that's the reason we do it. You know, we had never really intended, we had never intended to have marriage retreats. And when you see all of the attack, you know, against marriage, all, if you look politically, socially, culturally, that marriage is demeaned and torn down, then you see, okay, there's something going on. Because if the culture, the world, the flesh, and the devil goes after something, you know that there's something behind that, and you need to pay attention. And so all of the world, the flesh, and the devil goes after marriage. They want to destroy it. They want to demean it. They want to flip it on its head. They want to redefine it. They want to annihilate it and make it irrelevant, mm-hmm. and unnecessary. Whereas it is the very image, it's living out the very image of the triune God, you know, the triune, the relationship between Christ and God and the Holy Spirit in this beautiful Trinitarian love is what we're called to in marriage, in complete self-giving to one another. And that love that generates between the two is the essence of what it is to live in divine intimacy.
And really, if we backed up and I said, what is the sacrament of marriage all about? You just gave a good summary of the same answer. I think back to your note about one ascent to oneness, the reason we use that title is ascent is an allusion to John of the Cross and Carmelite spirituality, but also Jesus speaking of the narrow way is difficult. So this ascent to the cross, to the resurrection, and oneness, as you noted, being oneness with God and with one another. And so one of the ways that we approach this that's very different is most of these kinds of events are approached, or even this topic is approached from a purely psychological standpoint. Like, what do you think about? How do you deal with your emotions between one another? We're not taking that approach necessarily, although those things are good. Our approach is that if you draw near to God, if you think of a triangle, right? And you're on the bottom left side of the triangle and I'm in the bottom right, and God's at the top. And the base of a triangle is wider than the point at the top. As we ascend, if both of us ascend together, we're moving closer together. And it's not a trite idea. It's a really beautiful, powerful idea.
Yeah, and it's more than an idea. It's necessary.
Yeah.
You know, I heard someone recently say, you know, you cannot achieve oneness in your marriage without achieving oneness with the Lord, right? It's
none other than Bob Schutz, right? Or was it the guy right, who does his podcast with him?
Dr. Jake Kim.
Yeah.
Both
psychologists.
Yeah, they're both, you know, preaching the same thing. I just found out they're also doing series on this. And it's incredible, you know, when you think about, okay, it's not just, this isn't just an idea. This is actually truth. This mm-hmm. is the truth that the church teaches. This is the truth that you see in reality being lived out. Mm-hmm. As people, you know, the people that I know that have the holiest, most beautiful, most free, most joyous marriages mm-hmm. are those that are holding hands and running to the Lord with all they've got. You know, they're just like chasing after the Lord. And in that suffering, the self-denial, the self-giving, the prayer, the sacrifice of what does it mean to be one with God, they're holding one another, they're accountable, they're helping one another on the path. And in that, they find freedom and beauty in their marriage, this true oneness. So,
amen to that. And you know, what's interesting is when we first were courting, we studied theology of the body together as a way of getting to know one another. Mm-hmm. We did it via Skype. I think I sent you a camera for Christmas.
You did.
Christmas, and yeah. We did that over Skype. One of the things that I found difficult to understand at first, which I think is very powerful and important to convey, is the idea of a sacrament. And the marriage is a sacrament, you know. So just like baptism and confirmation and the Eucharist and reconciliation. And in terms of reconciliation and the Eucharist, we have a theology that's, I think, relatively easy to understand, not that everybody knows it, which is that for me to receive the greatest graces possible in the Eucharist, then I need to be properly disposed, right? So there's a thing that we do in order to correspond our hearts and minds to God and open ourselves to the heart. One is, you know, getting rid of, making sure we don't come with mortal sin, which is a grave, grave, grave sin. And there are other things we can do, you know, just even studying to understand what the Mass is so that we're more fully engaged. So that the graces that one person receives in the Mass is very different than the graces of another person, depending on the disposition of soul. What was always really confusing to me or hard to understand is
how does that apply to marriage?
Yeah, because the Eucharist and reconciliation are things that we do over and over. Baptism is one time, confirmation is one. Sacrament of marriage is, there's an event, right? But then there's this, but it also has a similar characteristic to the Eucharist and reconciliation in the sense that the graces that can come are not just the one time, not mm-hmm. just the first time,
right?
Not just that first event.
Right.
So how do those graces flow in the sacrament of marriage?
Yeah, and it's just such a huge idea. And the beauty of it is when you think about the beginning graces of that sacrament, you know, you come together in your beautiful gown and he's looking dapper and everybody smells good and looks amazing and all that stuff. Right?
That's all applied to you, but not necessarily to me.
So anyway, you know, you come together in that sacrament and it's like, you know, until death do us part and for richer, for poorer, for, you know, all those things, right? The issue is that when you move into that marriage, is that we can often forget those promises. We can forget those vows. Mm-hmm. And then we can start to look at one another through the lens of our brokenness.
Right.
and our failings, and you know that sense of everything's wonderful. You know, people say, "Oh, the honeymoon's now over." Well, when the honeymoon's over, when you start to see each other in the reality of who you are, as you truly are, right? That's where true vulnerability comes in, and that's where the graces of the sacrament can then just be explored and really taken advantage of as it is. Because then if we start to approach our marriage with not what am I going to get out of this, but rather how am I called to love the other when they're no longer perfect, on their best behavior and without sin.
There's no longer, you're not on a high. You know, it's similar, interestingly enough, the way that you're laying that out, it's similar to just the normal interior life, which is why we call it ascent to oneness, in that when you first begin on your journey to God, and this means that, you know, you may be a cradle Catholic, but a lot of cradle Catholics don't know the Lord, and they don't know this really powerful conversion that the saints know. And so, but they come to it somehow. You know, you go to an event, or you read a great book, or you have a crisis, whatever. So you say yes to God in a bigger way. And then what happens is he often pours out a lot of graces on us that are experiential in nature. So we experience this new or renewed love for the faith. We experience this joy, or maybe even a freedom from sin and that sort of thing. But where the rubber really meets the road in terms of whether or not we're going to be an authentic disciple of Jesus is not that moment, because those moments are actually kind of easy. You know, I think Father Altier said the easiest, the easiest moment in the marriage is the wedding day, you know, when all of the emotions are high and all of that. The harder part is when it's sort of the luster wears off, we see each other in our sin and brokenness. We see we're no longer putting the best foot forward like we were when we were courting, trying to win one another. And then there are challenges and difficulties, and you got to show up whether you like it or not. And you got to stay in whether you like it or not. And that's when you're saying the graces flow, because it's difficult. And so when we get back from the break, I want you to answer the question, why is it the graces flow more fully in that time than when everything is feeling great? So we'll be right back.
Hi friends, we want to personally invite you to check out all of our upcoming retreats here at Avila. Head over to spiritualdirection.com/events or click on the events tab on the top of spiritualdirection.com and sign up now for one of our powerful mini retreats, Setting the Captives Free or Into the Deep or Divine Intimacy in Marriage. Now with both live and online options, our mini retreats can be live streamed right into your living room or parish meeting room. Discover why these events sell out time and time again. That's spiritualdirection.com/events. Register today. There is a growing need for well-formed, solid spiritual directors in the church today. The Avila Institute, in collaboration with Heart of Christ Spiritual Direction Program, offers a certificate in spiritual direction for those who feel called to accompany others in their journey towards God. The program is grounded in Ignatian and Carmelite spirituality, based on a Catholic worldview, and draws on the wisdom of the saints with an emphasis on biblical principles and the new evangelization. This program offers both online and on-site classes. Discover more and apply today at avila-institute.org.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about marriage, spirituality, the progress of the soul, the progress of union to God, and how it is that we can come to know increased sacramental graces. Right. I mean, maybe why should we care is another question. But before the break, I asked, why is it that there are more graces that come when things are difficult than when they're easy?
Well, if we think about who we're called to be, we're called to emulate Christ, to become other Christs on earth. And through that means we're going to live through his life, right? All the beauty and glory of it, but also the suffering, the agony, the scourging, you know, all of it, the passion. There is no resurrection without the crucifixion.
Right.
And so that plays out in our marriages as well, because I don't know anybody. I honestly don't know anybody that just got married and they just continued to ascend without any stumbling, without any suffering, just straight stratosphere, all off to heaven, right? Mm-hmm. We all experience this challenge we experience challenges and brokenness in one form or another. One of the greatest disappointments is this moment when you look at the other person and all of a sudden the, you know, as it were, the veil comes off, or the shine and polish comes off, and you see somebody in the fullness of who they are, in their humanity, as it were, in their brokenness. And you have to make a real choice at that moment to say, I love you anyway. I love you. I love you as you are, not when you're perfect. You know, I choose to love you every day. In that act of self-denial, to stay in the battle, it's really, really important. You know, I was just speaking to a young wife, and her husband is suffering deeply. He said to her, when you love me, and he's really, really suffering right now, and I won't go into the details, but he says, when you love me, it's painful because I don't deserve it. Mm. I don't deserve your love.
You know what's crazy about that?
And she said to him, it's a gift.
Right.
My love is not because you've earned it. My love is a gift. And it's just incredible. So that self-giving at that moment, huge graces are flowing through that.
Yeah.
And it's so healing. And if he can learn to receive it, then it'll change everything for him.
So funny enough, I went through that with you in some ways. I was so broken by the time we met in terms of relationships. I was, you know, pretty devout and you know, heading the right direction spiritually, not perfect in any way, but, you know. But if you remember, I told you it took me about 5 years. And in many ways, I had that same sentiment. It's like, why are you with me? What is wrong with you? I mean, how is this possible that I have this beautiful woman who's loving me? And even in the brokenness, even in your brokenness, I struggled with, I've always had such high esteem and love for you, and just thought, what are you doing with me? You know, what are you doing hanging out with me? But interestingly enough, I'm working on this book, The Devil in the Castle, on St. Teresa of Avila and the spiritual warfare and the progress of the soul. And in the first mansions, like early on, there's this, I'm doing this reflection on how painful it is when we first begin to see God for who he is and who we really are, and how it hurts, because we're like Peter when Jesus fills the boat, and Peter's, you know, I can just see his eyes going, you're the Messiah. Please don't come near me. I'm not worthy. You know, it's just, gosh, the emotion just hit me. But it's this sense of, you're so good. You know, I don't deserve your love. I'm a sinner. You are special. Please stay away. It's not good. I'm not good. You know, and I think that the beauty of that, that's not a problem as long as we don't stay there, right?
Right.
That we really come to this process where we say, you know, then he says, follow me. Right. And then, so what do you do then? Do you sit there and say, no, you can't. I, you know, when you said, I love you, I didn't just resist you for years, you know, mm-hmm. or what, you know, stay in my brokenness, right. of not feeling comfortable with, well, how could you love me? But when Jesus says, follow me, you get off your knees.
You and allow you go. His love.
You allow, yes, go ahead. I'm,
you know,
sorry.
I mean,
monopolizing.
You allow the love in. And I, you know, that's where that true self-denial and self-giving becomes transformative.
Yeah.
Right? Because in that moment, you know, if we can love our spouse in their brokenness and stay with them when they're at their worst, and not leave them, don't desert them, don't run away, but pick up your cross, keep your eyes on Jesus, try to be holy, and love so sacrificially that it builds that bridge over which truth can pass, and the truth of that, of your spouse's dignity and their worth in the eyes of God, can break through and they can be transformed. Because
right.
I can tell you that it is remarkable how many marriages are unequally yoked.
What
we
does
talk
that mean?
About unequally yoked in that, and it's just, it's incredible.
It's a phrase
number.
That Jesus used.
Right.
Or that's used in the New Testament, I should say.
So often people go into their marriage and it's a little bit of pie in the sky, and they get married because, you know, this person smells good and they're cute and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So they end up getting married, but then one of the spouses has a remarkable transformation. They have a conversion, but the other spouse doesn't. And so then it's in that moment when you're dealing with those kind of situations that is so difficult, because you're looking at your spouse, you're on fire for the Lord, they're not, they're mired in sin, and they don't understand what you're talking about, and they feel often betrayed and abandoned.
Or condemned and
or
judged.
Or condemned criticized, and judged, yeah. Criticized, whatever, whether it's true or not, because they're faced with this light of Christ in the other, and this sacrificial love and this amazing, you know, gift that they have in their spouse. So when you come to that unequally yoked place, that's where the gift and the, I think, the most divine graces flow, often in a marriage, that are transformative. Because if you can stay in that situation, be Christ to your spouse and not give up and not run, but remember your vows for better or for worse, right? And help them, love them into heaven. That's what we're called to do. And the Lord can do amazing things. I've seen it time and time again. You know, when we were first married, you talked about our marriage and how, radical the transformation was in the first 5 years or so. And I remember being so grateful for you. Like, I was just, you know, because I came from a place of darkness. You came from a place of darkness. We had both had, you know, unions with others that were annulled and broken, and there was tremendous darkness and injury and woundedness in that. So to have a spouse that was willing to fight towards heaven, right? With each other. We talk about fighting towards one another, towards Christ and one another. That was so life-giving to me that I remember praying to God, please love Dan through me.
Wow.
Love him through me. Help him to see your love. Help him to see what I see.
It worked, by the way.
Yeah, you know, well, so it, both ways it worked.
It did, and it healed me in a lot of ways. I mean, our relationship, and this is part of that sacramental grace flowing, is your love for me and desire that God use you to love me. He has healed me a lot of wounds in relationship to what it means to be in an authentic marriage in Christ. I don't want to get too far into this final segment before I tell people about some resources that are very powerful. The most we have are out on apostolyva.org, and if the producer could put up the address on the screen, but all for those who are live stream, but also say it for those who are listening on radio. It's apostolyviae.org, apostolyva. It's basically spelled the way it sounds, .org. And out on that site, you can find blog resources on unequally yoked marriage. We've written a few posts together on that. Inside the site, if you become a member, it's free. There's no gimmicks. It's all free. We did a 14-part series with Father Timothy Gallagher on discernment of spirits in marriage,
it's a game changer.
I loved doing that series with him. It was awesome. And that's free. It's bundled as what we call a mini course. And then out on spiritualdirection.com, which is easier to spell and remember sometimes, we have a marriage spirituality series there that you can check out.
Right, right. And, you know, if you want to join us for these marriage retreats, because what I have found, if we can talk a moment about the fruit of this, mm-hmm. of this part of our ministry that we've been encouraged and kind of grabbed by our lapels and jumped into.
Thanks to Mother Louise Marie.
Yes, we love you always. Thank you for the push and the tug and the
encouragement.
So the fruit that we're seeing it is just remarkable, because these couples come from all different walks in their marriage, from those that are newly married, that we've even had engaged couples, to those that have been married for 40 and 50 years. We have seen those that are on fire together and those that are unequally yoked. We've seen people that are struggling.
On the verge of divorce.
On the verge of divorce. Some that have been completely renewed and have had their marriage restored. And it's, we're just seeing all kinds of fruit from it.
And the truth about every one of those is it all it takes is to stay in the fight. It was one of the things we tell couples is you only lose when you quit.
Right.
You only lose when you quit. If you stay in and you stay in the right way in terms of if you stay in and you are orienting your heart and mind toward God and toward redemption and giving yourself away to the church, giving yourself in mental prayer, giving yourself in daily examine, going to get healing if you need it, deliverance ministry if you need it, whatever. When you do that, you will grow close to God. And if you both do that together, it is inevitable that what you struggle with will be healed. Everyone can be healed. Everyone, no matter where you are, how bad you are.
Yeah.
We're coming to the end of the show.
And I want to remind everybody that if they want to join us for the Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreat, our next one's going to be in February.
Next year, 2022.
Of 2022, February of 2022. You can find it out at spiritualdirection.com, Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreat.
Event,
I guarantee...
Spiritual.com event.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Spiritual... event spiritualdirection.com/events and make sure you take a look at the Divine Intimacy Marriage Retreat in February of 2022. It will fill up, so don't miss it.
Very good.
Okay. Until next time, it is time to go. May the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.